The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
To kick things off, Lorcan Nyan is with me, Head of Training at the Communications Clinic. Columnist at the Sunday Independent. Ciara O'Loughlin, News Reporter with the Irish Mirror as well. You're both very welcome. Actually, we'll start with what to watch, because lots of people have maybe finished watching Baby Reindeer. Lorcan, you didn't watch it.
I didn't. Two central reasons. I am an absolute coward when it comes to anything unsettling or scary.
Oh, really?
And I saw one review that said it was both unsettling and like a horror film. I was like, I am not bringing that into my life. And then number two, when it comes to television, I am shockingly intellectually incurious. Anything that is like prestige TV or takes work, I read if I have enough brain energy for work. Anything that is like artistic, no. Easy viewing, MasterChef, MasterChef Professionals, Bake Off. That's as far
all
as my
cooking
TV
related.
And I'm not even into cooking. It's just easy. Anything easy viewing. Nice
travel shows.
Heartwarming. Oh, a bit of travel show.
Gardening.
Absolutely.
You're a Monty Don man.
No, not gardening shows. You're going to garden. And then like chewing gum. Chewing gum for the brain. When it comes to television, you get intellectual curiosity elsewhere.
Baby Reindeer is not chewing gum for the brain.
No, to be honest, I wouldn't even say it's an intellectual watch as per se, but it is definitely a very, very hard watch. I mean,
I watched it
because I just get sucked into everything that TikTok tells me to do. I am a marketer's dream and everyone was talking about it. So obviously I watched it, but I took breaks in between. I didn't binge. I was kind of watching one episode, watching another episode a few days, thinking, will I finish it? Won't I? And then curiosity got the better of me and I did finish it. But I personally wouldn't really recommend it if you're not into true crime, kind of darker things. If you want an easy watch at the end of the day, it's definitely not what you want.
People who haven't watched it will wonder why we're talking about it. It's a story about a stalker and a man who was stalked. That's the kind of simplest way to describe it. And their interactions over a number of years. And it's written and directed by Richard Gadd. And he stars in it as well. And this is a true story. He had a play about it. He had a stand-up routine around it as well that debuted at Edinburgh a few years ago. And the woman, Martha is the name of the woman in the show here. And the real Martha, if we'll describe her that way, the woman who is alleged to be the real Martha, is being interviewed by Piers Morgan tonight. This is why a lot of people are talking about it again today.
Yeah, so you know, Piers Morgan has put out the teasers and stuff saying that it's going to come out on his YouTube channel later on tonight. So it's really started a whole conversation on whether this is ethical or not, because in the show, her name is Martha, you know, her name isn't given. But, you know, everyone, we have lots of detectives online and they were all able to figure out who it was. And then this woman who Piers is interviewing later on has been kind of putting stuff up on social media about it. And then she agreed to go on and talk to him. Yeah, so it's an interesting conversation on is it ethical? Because in the show, she was made out to not have mental health issues. And then I think she has come out now and said after the interview that she felt used by him.
It's easy to kind of describe this as exploitative, Lorcan, but I mean, just because someone has mental health issues doesn't deny them agency. I mean, you have to, you know, give people a platform unless you kind of cross that line into the area where you are exploiting them. And I guess we can't say whether that has happened for sure until we see the interview.
Yeah, you need to watch the interview. There are two absolute clear strands to this. There is one, there's obviously a duty of care as an interviewer to somebody if you feel like that they're not able to give their side of the story because of the situation that they're in. There is absolutely a duty of care. But then there's been a whole Netflix show here that this woman is clearly represented in, and does she deserve a chance to give her side of the story?
It has to be said. I haven't seen it, but not in a great light.
I assumed not from what I'd read of it. So, like, she absolutely should be given maybe a platform to give her side of the story. You do need to look at it, and you can be, you know, paternalistic or whatever and say, oh, they must be protected from themselves. But I think unless you were there in the meetings beforehand, the discussions before the interview, the discussions about the interview, you can't really make a call on this because of duty of care. Now, I think we can be relatively clear that this is not being done as an interview out of the goodness of their heart to let this person tell their side of the story. I mean, like, they know it's been done for publicity. It's a good interview to get. We're all talking about it and that's what they want. So I'm not saying the two strands there are what was going through Piers Morgan's mind, but I think when you look at it, you can look and say, right, hang on, there is a duty of care, but also people deserve their side of the story being told to.
The Netflix show itself was exploitative, says one listener, and shouldn't have been made. Episode 4 scarred me for life, says somebody else. Yeah, anybody who's seen it will know exactly why episode 4 would have scarred that listener. Like most things on Netflix, Baby Reindeer had too many episodes. I lasted it out, but it was only okay, says Mark. Mark, it's the same curse of podcasts, too many episodes. They need a producer, like I have Claire here telling me to wrap things up. That's enough, people are bored. And Chris says, the real life Martha has done her time in prison. She's mental health issues. That is enough. So enough's enough, her, so says Chris anyway. 087 1400 106 is the number if, like Chris, you want to get in touch. I mentioned this Dublin task force. So, Ciara, tell me about it. Who is involved with it? Who has set it up? And what is the aim of it?
Yeah, so On Post boss David McRedmond, excuse me, will be heading up this newly established Dublin City Task Force. So he's going to work as an independent chair of the group, and then it's going to include up to 12 members. So this will include people like An Gardaí Síochána members, local authority representatives, and the National Transport Authority. So yeah, I mean, they're going to make their recommendations to government in July. So right now, you know, it's kind of hard to say. I think it's definitely needed, but it's hard to say if it is going to help or not. We've no, from the announcement, from the statement, we have no actual idea of what exactly they are going to do to try and make Dublin just more attractive, I suppose.
Logan, the criticism of this, and it wasn't long before criticism emerged, is that it's just going to be a kind of a talking shop. Sometimes politically, there's a value in a talking shop, is there?
Gets ideas out on the table, works their way through. Look,
that's what lets you say you've done something. I set up that task force.
Yeah.
What do you mean I didn't take this problem seriously?
We have
did I not set up a task force?
Yeah, and very impressive.
And it sounds G.I. Joe-ish, doesn't it? A task force?
Yeah, look, there's an element of that. Look, the way I see it, I think there an element of being too down on Dublin at times, all right, because we do enjoy giving out about Dublin. I think that maybe it's just my good form because it's a sunny day and I had ice cream walking into the studio today. But, you know, there's lots to be positive still about Dublin. But, like, it's obviously there's been a bit of a shift since COVID. So, I mean, there's obviously things that can be done. It's way, 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 way too pleasant for cars and not pleasant enough for cyclists and people walking around Dublin. And there's not enough pedestrianisation. And, look, there's a lot of talk there about antisocial behaviour, etc. in the areas that they're looking for. So there can always be stuff done. What I would hope is that the report is ambitious, and then the political will after the report is strong. Because if it's tinkering a cultural space here that they mentioned, a cultural space there, it won't make a huge difference. If it's things like, let's move more cars out of the city centre, like as part of the plan, if it's proper pedestrianised areas. Mm-hmm. Because I think we saw during COVID, which is when this shift in attitude happened, but we saw during COVID coming out of it, there was big moves to say, let's pedestrianise more areas of Dublin because it's worked during COVID. And the one I walk up a lot is Merrion Row, and we'll pedestrianise Merrion Row and it'll be great. And then they said, we'll pedestrianise it, but only half the street, and the cars can go down the other half of the street. So it's not pedestrianised. There's a little bit more space, but it's not pedestrianised. So that was a missed opportunity.
Mm.
And coming out of COVID, there was that opportunity there. There was a groundswell, there was support, the businesses wanted it, but we fell into this halfway house. So I'd like the recommendations, I think, should be not halfway houses, to the point that people should be annoyed by the recommendations.
But sorry, Catherine Martin was on the show yesterday, and one of the points I made to her was that, you know, we sat around for kind of 10 months waiting for two reports in RTE that told us what the dogs in the street knew last August. Mm-hmm. When the reports were commissioned. All of the things you talk about there, do we necessarily need a task force to make these recommendations? Dublin has its own city council that has God knows how many subcommittees looking at all of these issues all of the time. We've got a national government that has national policy around transport as well. Some of the issues you mentioned there. Do we need a task force to come up with recommendations?
Probably not, but we have one now. It's there now. And so it is maybe a chance outside of the kind of the incremental approach of a political system. Somebody who can maybe design with a bit of a white paper and say, well, look, here's what we could do. Let's be ambitious. Let's take the best in a couple of different European cities and let's bring those and let's try some of those elements in Dublin. But it's only worthwhile if it's ambitious, because it's very hard to get any of those changes through. It's always going to annoy people who like things like they are right now. And so if the recommendations...
It also annoys the people who actually are elected to make these decisions, or who have been hired at executive level by Dublin City Council to make these decisions. You know, you could see them kind of getting this report in however many months' time or however many years' time and thinking, yeah, thanks very much. Straight in the bin.
Yeah, we've thought about that. We've done viability plans and that.
Yeah.
All well and good for you to say.
This is my actual job here, by the way. Thanks for your little part-time kind of hobby horse there for a few weeks or months. And I'm not kind of being dismissive to David McRedmond, who's a very serious person. But, you know, I could see these recommendations gathering a lot of dust in the years ahead.
And hopefully, let's in 6 months' time, let's all come back and let's go through the report and see what's happened.
Amazon are opening an Irish website in 2025. So, Ciara, will we get same day delivery? Do we know any detail on that yet?
I don't know if we'll get same day delivery. I mean,
my light bulb needs changing.
It'd be amazing.
Go
if
on
we
Amazon
did.
And they'll send a diesel powered truck out to my house with a single
straight
light
away.
Bulb.
But I think this is very much needed. I mean, so many of us use Amazon already, and you have to either use the UK website or the German website. Now, a lot of people are using the German website now so they can avoid customs from the UK. But yeah, there'll be a lot of smaller businesses today that will be upset by the announcement, of course.
Does everybody not have a cousin in the UK they just get stuff sent to?
I don't anyway.
Is that how it works, no?
Is that what you do?
Is that not how you avoid customs? You just get your cousin to post it to you. Sorry, I mean, one might get their cousin to post it to
I heard reports that.
yeah, so look, I'm not surprised this has finally happened. I think it is a long time coming, and it is kind of, you know, smaller businesses will be upset, but I think people who are using Amazon are using it anyway. I don't think, I mean, you might get some new customers, but I think the majority of people who will use the Irish website were using it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, already some of those smaller retailers have been out today, Lorcan, criticising it. Like, and you can see why. I mean, we often talk, you were just talking about transport, and we often talk about transport on this show, and the word that's used is kind of convenience. And while it's still more convenient for people to use their cars, you can tell them all you want about climate change, they're going to do what's convenient. If it's right outside their door and it's more awkward to get the bus or whatever, they're going to use their car while they can. And if Amazon becomes the more convenient option, you can tell people all you want, support local retail, but, you know, you're sitting at home and, you know, you can order a book, and if it's going to be there in 3 hours, someone's going to knock on your door and hand it to you. Easy to do it, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's human nature. That is what is going to happen. So I agree with your point. Like, the horse is bolted in a big way here, obviously, is that people are using it anyway. If they're using it even with the difficulties, they probably will lose it a little bit more, and particularly if that same day delivery comes in. That's what would be the real impact, where, Joe, if you're going to have to wait 2 days anyway, you'll say, well, I'll go for the Irish retailer, I'll go to their website, I'll go online. There will be people say, do you know what? I just saw somebody talk about that book. I want it now. I wish to read it right now, and therefore bring it to my door. And if that's available, they will. So look, some of what you need to do is make things less convenient for people for the greater good, but then that's very Big Brother, and it stops people doing what they need to do. So I think local retailers are probably right to give out about it. I think they're pushing against a trend that is not going to reverse. I mean, I live in the city centre, and even right now the Amazon Prime van is more regular than the postman. You know, you see him twice a day on the street rather than once a day. So if it's already at that situation, if it gets even more convenient, it's just going to increase. What Amazon are saying themselves is that this is a brilliant opportunity to get more Irish retailers using Amazon, because more people will be using it, and therefore Irish retailers will have a new avenue to use, which is obviously the spin that they would put on it. So I think in general, not good news. Not good news for society, but it's inevitable, and I use it myself.
So. Open the road, says one listener. Let people access entertainment and shopping. You can't go to town and have a drink on your bike. I'm not sure you go to town in your car and have a drink either. There's a kind of a flaw in that argument. Chris says, the task force is another Del Boy government move, all show and no substance. You think there was an election around the corner? And how many talking shops do we need to somebody else clean the streets, get rid of drug dealing, and arrest and lock up criminals? The simple recommendation from somebody else reminds me of my favourite election poster. The campaign, make crime illegal. Anyway, 087 1400 106, Lorcan Nyan, head of training at the Communications Clinic, columnist at the Sunday Independent, Ciara O'Loughlin, news reporter with the Irish Mirror. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.